D-Mace Vingen and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. We are live at Bridgestone Arena, where the Predators will host the St. Louis Blues tonight. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5 The Game. The Predators going for their sixth win in their past eight games in a divisional matchup. The first time the Predators have seen the Blues this season. The two teams will also face off early next week as well. But yesterday, guys, we were discussing Robert Saleh as a potential Titans head coaching candidate because the Titans will see Robert Saleh on the opposite sideline on Sunday when the Titans visit the 49ers. Well, I was reading a story by ESPN's Jeremy Fowler and Dan Graziano. They do this every week. They have a huge notebook where they have all of these really interesting tidbits about what they're hearing around the league. And here's something that Jeremy Fowler wrote about the Titans coaching search, quote, "The Matt Nagy Titans connection is one that comes up in league circles with the belief that Tennessee GM Mike Borgonzi has a good relationship with Nagy from their Kansas City days. Nagy's Chicago tenure has aged well, going 34-31 with Mitch Trubisky at quarterback. The Chiefs' struggles could affect Nagy's chances, but I expect him to be a candidate in Tennessee," end quote. So, Chiefs offensive coordinator Matt Nagy, former head coach of the Chicago Bears, as I just stated, 34-31, I believe, over four seasons with the Bears. He inherited Mitch Trubisky at quarterback. He also had Justin Fields for one season. But I've read a lot of people say the same thing that Fowler just said there, that over time, Nagy's tenure in Chicago has aged well because of where Trubisky's career has gone, where Justin Fields' career has gone. There's the obvious connection with Mike Borgonzi from their days in Kansas City, again, as Jeremy Fowler just said. So yesterday we were talking about Robert Saleh, and I think all of us were kind of on board with the idea. Derek, how do you feel about Matt Nagy?
For me, you know, did he or has he display some of those things that you want in a coach, some of those things that I'm sure, you know, Jeffrey Simmons echoed. I'm sure he echoed those things. I'm sure he said those things because that's what he's heard, being so close with, you know, upper management. You know, this is a guy that they didn't want to trade because they see him as part of their future, and he has said he's sat down and listened to him and the vision that they have. So obviously there are some things that they told him as far as a head coach, what they're looking for. So if Matt Nagy matches what they're looking for, then yeah, you put him in and you continue to do your due diligence. But if I'm Matt Nagy, you know, I'm looking at it as, because listen, we saw somebody else that, you know, from the Kansas City tree that decided to leave and go venture to try to be a head coach. And watch, forget the guy's name, the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs, running back, Bieniemy.
Eric Bieniemy.
Eric Bieniemy.
Yes.
You see, he tried to go off and do his own thing, and it didn't work well for him. If I'm Matt Nagy, listen, I'm talking to the Chiefs, and I'm trying to gauge how they feel about, you know, Andy Reid at this point. You know, is Andy Reid looking more to retire in a year or two? Or are they looking at him as a long-term deal where they're re-signing him to another contract? Because if I know that more than likely Andy Reid will not be here that long either because he chooses to retire, or the Chiefs may say, hey, listen, we're looking to go in another direction. If that is indeed the case, you have your built-in quarterback, one of the best to ever do it. Why would I want to leave that? You know, so a lot of it to me, if I'm at Nagy, it's dependent on me talking to Kansas City and what are their plans moving forward with Andy Reid.
You know, I can't tell you everything about Matt Nagy. I don't know. My thoughts from afar is sometimes it does take two. Like I think at the time, we didn't know what we know now about Trubisky. Trubisky had that one really good year. Remember, they probably should have won the game. The guy missed the field goal, the double doink, the famous one, right? Who knows where that could have gone? They had one great year where Trubisky actually gave them a lift. I don't know if his stats were out of this world, but he was somewhat effective. And then for whatever reason, it just kind of went south. The Bears, historically, right, you can't really hold it too much against the coach, like we were talking about with Saleh.
Yes.
When it doesn't go well for a franchise that has a lot of ups and downs, the Bears are all over the place, right, historically. So, like Bill Belichick, if you just sat there and if this were right after he got nailed by the Browns, right? He was there. He had a couple decent years with the Browns. The record wasn't great. He got fired. They moved. And then he latched on with Parcells again with the Jets. And he ends up going back to the Patriots. But if you just sit there and go, well, Belichick is the head coach. Yeah, you know, he didn't do that great with the Browns. You know, that's like sometimes it takes a couple of tries.
Exactly.
Joe Torre may be the all-time guy in baseball. He's a Hall of Famer. His first two or three managerial jobs, he did okay, nothing great, nothing. He didn't win anything big, and then he gets with the Yankees with the right guys and wins big. So that's where a guy like Borgonzi, the people doing the interviews, have to do a really good job of knowing what is it that Matt Nagy brings to the table. Can he build a program?
So just for everybody's knowledge, although Matt Nagy is the Chiefs offensive coordinator, he does not call the plays in Kansas City. Andy Reid calls the plays in Kansas City. Here was ESPN after the Bears fired Nagy. Quote, Nagy was named NFL Coach of the Year after his first season in 2018 when he led the Bears to a 12-4 record and they reached the playoffs for the first time in 8 years. He earned praise that season for his offensive wrinkles and humble disposition, but the Bears couldn't sustain that success over the ensuing three seasons. They finished 8-8 in 2019, again in 2020. Nagy was never able to duplicate his first season, in part because the quarterback he inherited, Mitch Trubisky, never made the necessary improvement.
And didn't they bring in Nick Foles at one point, like post-Eagles, when Foles was the hero? I feel like Foles ended up parlaying that into a deal with the Bears, and he just didn't do well at all. I think that sunk the Bears, if I'm thinking back correctly on that.
But remember, yesterday...
The years are starting to run together.
Yeah. Yesterday, when we were talking about Saleh and his 20-36 record as head coach of the Jets, we listed all of the terrible quarterbacks who started games for the Jets.
Yeah. Terrible is being kind.
Zach Wilson, Trevor Siemian, Mike White, Tim Boyle.
Third stringers.
Yes.
A guy that just was never, it was the all-in-all bust.
Right.
In Wilson, and then a bunch of third stringers, and of course Aaron Rodgers, who got hurt and barely played.
But Nagy had a winning record despite having Mitch Trubisky, and we've seen how that has panned out. And I believe he was the coach for Justin Fields' rookie season. Nick Suss of the Tennessean, we referenced his article the other day ranking his top candidates. He had Saleh number one. He has Nagy number five. He writes this, quote, Nagy is the ultimate no one's going to get too excited or too angry candidate. His Chicago tenure went better than most remember, with only one losing season in 4 years. He's a respected figure in Kansas City, making the Borgonzi connections come up again. And he actually has been through the process of inheriting a first-round quarterback drafted by a previous regime and mentoring him in the case of Trubisky. The question is whether he can keep the train rolling with Ward better than he did with Trubisky, who played well early under Nagy but couldn't keep progressing.
Well, that's the, you know, the big question. You know, yeah, we saw you come in and you have a good season with a young quarterback, but then, you know, you didn't follow that up. Even with, you know, drafting Justin Fields, it just didn't work out for whatever reason. And ultimately, they end up firing you. It's going to be critical because, listen, they need, it would be imperative if Cam Ward works, if this works. So whoever they hire as the next coach got to make sure that either he or the guy that he hires to take on that task do a good job at developing this quarterback. We talked about this yesterday. The teams outside of Indianapolis, and that just happened this past week. But at one point, it seemed like all those teams really had their quarterback moving forward. And the only team that had a question mark was the Titans. I know Indianapolis is now in the Titans position, so to speak.
And by the way, all signs point to Phillip Rivers
starting
for the Colts on Sunday. That's must-see TV, if you ask me.
Yeah, so...
It's official now?
It's not official,
but he's saying the way.
Okay. So nothing new since the... You know, I've been a step behind today, yes. As I told you guys. You know, the news is changing fast. It's a fluid situation.
Stephen Holder, yes. Stephen Holder, who reports on the Colts for ESPN. He is Indianapolis' version of Teron Davenport. He said, it looks like all signs are pointing to Phillip Rivers starting on Sunday. But I digress. Please continue, Derek.
Yeah, so, listen, these teams are, they have sort of, they have their quarterback. And what I'm saying now is Houston and Jacksonville. They feel they had their guy moving forward. They probably felt that way a couple years ago as well, because CJ Stroud's only in his third year, I believe. And the Titans are sitting in a space where they've drafted a guy number one overall. They've already switched the coach on him. They've already switched an offensive coordinator on him. And now the next guy they bring in is tasked to continue to develop him. Well, if that's the case, then whoever you pick as their head coach is the most important thing moving forward. Because if it's not an offensive mind like Nagy, then the guy that he chooses to be steward of, you know, developing Cam, it needs to hit, because if it doesn't, you're going to find yourself back in the pool of quarterbacks while Jacksonville and Houston and maybe even Indianapolis, because their team is better than yours overall, they're going to be light years ahead of you. So this hire, whoever it is, it has to be the right hire.
One texter says, Bears fan here, he was not, meaning Nagy, was not a culture change coach. But the playoffs, 2 out of 4 years, a double doink away from the Super Bowl.
I don't know about the Super Bowl. That was the division game, right? The double doink? They would have had to have won the NFC Championship game.
I'm just reading what the texter said.
I think, if I remember that correctly, I don't think that was the NFC title game. I could be wrong.
It was not.
Okay. Let's go to our friend Mark in Nashville on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Mark, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, boy, it's a miracle. Yeah, how y'all doing today, Adam? How you doing, D-Mace, Willie?
We're hey, good. Mark.
Doing good.
What you got, Mark? What's on your mind?
I know y'all talking about all these rethread coaches and stuff, man. I really wish y'all would let that go. We don't need Matt Nagy, Mike McCarthy.
All right, so who's your man?
I've been saying it all along, man. Clint Kubiak. I'd like to see Clint Kubiak get the offensive-minded coach. Look what he's doing with Sam Darnold at Seattle. Seahawks and stuff this year. I mean, he's done a great job. He does call plays. He's been a quarterback coach. He's worked his way up through the system. If you did go with Solid Willie, Adam D. Mace, you're right. He's going to have to bring a great offensive coordinator. Maybe Mike McDaniel gets fired. You can bring the mad scientist in there if you could. Maybe that would help him out. But, I think Cam, I mean, this is, like D. Mace said, this is really a crucial pick. For the Titans' next coach, they got to get this right. I know Bargonzi has ties with Nagy, but, hey, man, let's just forget that. But, Willie, before I go, I got to address something with you.
Oh, boy. Bring it on.
What you got, Mark?
Yeah. I see your boy walk yesterday for 150 feet.
He did.
Went down the road. Now, y'all lost Brandon Nemo. You lost Diaz to the world champion Dodgers. I mean, Will, it's going bad for you.
I know.
You should have got Kyle.
I feel like I'm getting stuck with knives, man. These knives are going in me just left and right, and you're twisting it, Mark. You're twisting it. Thanks a lot for that.
Yeah. Well, Will, anytime I can take a dig, I'm going to take it, man. You know I'm going to take it.
I'm going to be out of blood by the time this game starts tonight at 7.
Yeah. Adam, how you doing, man? I don't want to leave you out.
I'm good, Mark. I'm good. Thank you for calling, as always, my friend.
Yeah, all right, we'll see y'all later, man. All right, Mark.
Later.
Bye, Mark.
I love Mark, man.
He just called. Yeah. You know, he threw all that fluff out there, and then he called to drill me on the Mets. That's
he wanted
what he
to shiv course. You about the Mets.
Yes, he did.
We exchanged some pleasantries.
What was the word you used?
He shivved you.
He did.
He shivved you.
I might have to use shiv tonight in the broadcast.
I was watching Prison Good Break vocab. To fall asleep last night, which is a very strange show to watch when you're trying to fall asleep.
That's what I was about to say. Why are you watching Prison Break to fall asleep?
It's not a comforting show to fall asleep to. But, you know, that got me in the mood. So he was shivving you about the Mets. Wes in Clarksville says, how many years do we give Cam Ward? Levis got a year and a half before shipping him off. Well, he did get hurt, but your point is well taken. How many years do we give Cam Ward?
Well, he's the number one pick in the draft. How many years do you think you need to give him?
I think the answer is probably 4.
Yeah, 3 to 4 years.
But the answer is at least 3, yes. And then you decide, are we looking at fifth-year option. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how it works, right?
Off the top of your heads, can you recall any number one overall pick quarterbacks who were thrown aside after a year or two?
There's a lot of them.
Richardson?
Well, not first overall.
He wasn't first overall.
No, he wasn't.
Jamarcus Russell.
Yes, okay. I was about to say Jamarcus Russell.
But it's rare.
It's rare.
It's rare.
They're going to get every chance to play.
615-737-1025. Actually, before we go to break, let me read this text. Adam, not sure if you caught the local news last night. They said over 1,000 cars were in line for the grand opening of In-N-Out Burger.
Wow.
1,000?
1,000.
That's an exaggeration. I want to see the pictures.
Yes.
Did they count, or are they just guesstimating?
1,000.
Did they have helicopters over the top with somebody counting?
I don't know.
What do you know?
1,000.
They probably got the person with the little number thing checking all the cars. Click.
Seems
click.
Fishy.
Imagine
to me.
If you pull up and they give you a number. It's 973.
No, they're not giving
I'll
numbers.
Pass.
It's just that little
the
clicker,
clicker
thing.
Yeah,
the click. Okay, that's the car number 5. Click 6, 7, 8. Okay,
oh. Right. Well, good for all of you who were in line for In-N-Out at the crack of dawn.
I want to know, if somebody went through that line,
we need
and they were in
you.
The hundreds, I want to hear the experience.
Yes. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, one national NFL reporter has said who he thinks is the early front runner for the Titans head coaching position. We will discuss that person coming up next. 615-737-1025. It's bowl season, and the Game Nashville Sports Network is your home for college football bowl games and the college football playoff presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. Saturday, catch the Celebration Bowl on 102.5 The Game as SC State takes on Prairie View at 11 a.m. For a list of games carried on the Game Nashville Sports Network, visit thegamenashville.com/bowlgames. The college football game of the week is Boise State versus Washington in the L.A. Bowl this Saturday on 94.9 The Fan at 7 o'clock.
A critical pick.
Yes.
In the silly underdog competition.
By Chris Sanders. Coverage presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentuckian is also available on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. Excuse me. An important update from Scotty and Dixon. He says, I was working right beside the In-N-Out yesterday. I took video, but it won't let me send it. I worked 10 hours, and they have 2 full parking lots. For drive-through, 1 parking lot was on the other side of the road, and it lasted all day. Easily, 1,000 cars went in and out. No pun intended.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go, Willie. Somebody was counting.
Eyewitness account. Yeah. So he says 1,000 is not exaggerating.
You know?
Now, Dan, who sent in the initial tip, said, I wish to be vindicated, Adam, on air. Here is the article that states over 800 cars. Well, you said over 1,000 cars, Dan.
Liar.
So you were off by 200, Dan. But there you go.
200 is not nothing. Come on, man.
Yeah. Don't come at me with numbers.
It's a lot of cars.
Yes, that is a lot of cars. That is a lot of cars. One texter wanted us to update the offensive rookie of the year odds, and they're not good for Cam Ward.
Well, that was one of our 10 critical Titans questions.
What do you think Cam Ward's odds are at DraftKings Sportsbook to win offensive rookie of the year?
I mean, they're minuscule, right? Yeah. He's not going to win it. He's not.
What was
Julian Sayin in the Heisman I looked
exactly.
at? Plus 70,000. Cam Ward has better odds. He is at plus 30,000 to win the offensive rookie of the year. Tet McMillan is the favorite at minus 155, followed by Jackson Dart at plus 210, Emeka Egbuka at plus 650, Tyler Warren at plus 800, and Travion Henderson at plus 1600.
Our question was, would he finish in the top 3? And I said no.
Well, you're going to be right about that, Willie.
I'm going to be right. I don't have the scrolls in front of me.
You're going to be right.
But I'm not sure you guys agreed with me.
I don't think I did. But nevertheless, we were talking about Matt Nagy as a potential Titans head coaching candidate because of his previous relationship with Mike Borgonzi during their shared time in Kansas City. So today, Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated works with Albert Breer on the MMQB podcast. He wrote this huge story detailing the top NFL head coaching candidates teams will consider for 2026. There are like 40-plus coaches on this list. So I'm scrolling through it, and then I saw this passage underneath the subhead for Mike McCarthy. Connor Orr writes, quote, McCarthy, 62, is viewed by some as an early frontrunner for the Titans' vacancy given his experience at the quarterback position and the Titans needing to maximize 2025 number one pick Cam Ward, though there are some conflicting opinions emerging that Tennessee may value a younger voice in the building. Sir Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated said some view McCarthy as an early front runner for the Titans job, but there are conflicting opinions that Tennessee may value a younger voice in the building.
Listen, if you look at, you know, his resume, it's a really good resume.
There's a Super Bowl on it.
It's a Super Bowl, bunch of wins, his development of quarterbacks, whether it be Aaron Rodgers or Dak Prescott, and any quarterback in the middle of that, he's done an excellent job at that, at developing quarterbacks and having top-ranked offenses. The thing that the Titans need, in addition to that, is somebody that can set the culture, change what the culture is now, and get a winning culture. And is Mike McCarthy that guy? It seemed like maybe because he was in Dallas, there was always something going on, and it was more so about the owner being in the middle of everything than the actual coach. So all I know is that the two places he has been, he has won a Super Bowl at one, and we can say, hey, he had Aaron Rodgers, and yeah, you're right. But also, he's had some really good seasons with the Dallas Cowboys. He's been one of the main reasons that Dak Prescott has developed into one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. You see what Dak is doing this season. I know it's not McCarthy, but some of that is contributed to McCarthy and that development of Dak Prescott and the coaches that were there. So, I mean, listen, it wouldn't be a bad hire, but is he the guy long-term? Like you said, maybe they're looking for a younger voice. Well, who is that younger voice that sort of fits the Mike McCarthy sort of, you know, template?
Well, we had our friend Mark from Nashville suggest Clint Kubiak, who is the offensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks. He is 38 years old.
Didn't they just try another 38-year-old?
Callahan was pretty young.
Yes,
I forget exactly his neighborhood.
Yes, he was in the 30s.
Brian Callahan is 41 years old.
So he's
soon
took the
to
job
be 41 years old.
At 38, took the job at 39.
Roughly the same age.
Yeah, roughly the same age. So do they travel down that road again with a young, quote unquote, you know, offensive mind? Or are they looking for a guy that's going to, you know, set a culture and be sort of a younger version of what, you know, Vrabel was?
Mike McCarthy, by the way, in his career, 18 seasons coaching in the NFL, as Willie drops something, has a combined record with the Packers and Cowboys of 174, 112, and 2. He is 11-11 in his career in the playoffs, 1-3 with the Cowboys.
Yeah, so he's tested. He knows offenses. He knows development of quarterbacks. So if you're looking for this, that, and you're checking boxes, then okay, Mike McCarthy is that guy. But I'm not going to, you know, go back on what I said, you know, over a month ago when Callahan was probably longer than that, when Callahan was fired.
Oh,
listen,
it was definitely longer than that.
They need someone is going to come in here. He, to me, doesn't have to be an offensive guru. He just needs to come in here and set a culture. There needs to be a shift, a winning culture set here. And I'm not saying that Mike McCarthy can't do it, but you need to – somebody has to walk in and there's instant respect. I think it was that way when Vrabel walked in. They probably didn't know a lot about him, but there was respect.
Right.
The next coach, it needs to be just that.
Here are some other notes, some big picture thoughts from Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated on the coaching carousel this upcoming cycle. Quote, thanks to the Seahawks' Mike McDonald and an increasingly plucked sect of young offensive play callers, this could be the year of the quote-unquote defensive genius. We're seeing more buzz from candidates on the defensive side of the ball than we have in years. So what do you make of that, considering what this coach will inherit? And a big part of the job is going to be developing Cam Ward. That doesn't mean a defensive coach, we talked about Sala yesterday, that doesn't mean a defensive coach can't bring in a hot young offensive coordinator, but according to Connor Orr, this could be the year of the defensive genius in the coaching cycle.
It does seem to trend different ways, different years. I said it from the start, leader, more than anything else. Doesn't have to be offense, doesn't have to be defense. running the program, leadership, especially a guy that has done it and has gone through the fire. You got to bring this roster out of the fire, and it's going to take time. That trumps everything. I don't really care if the John Harbaugh is a pretty good coach. Mm-hmm. He had never been a coordinator, correct?
He was a special teams coordinator.
Right, special teams.
Yeah.
So he wasn't like offensive guy defensive guy. He was the right guy.
Exactly.
Because he knew he was the guy that could lead. That's what I'm looking for.
One texter says Kubiak. Derek says this. Kubiak, not you, Derek. Another yes. Derek. Kubiak is Callahan 2.0. Well, I think the big difference is, what was my one non-negotiable? No non-play calling offensive coordinators, which was what Callahan was. Mm-hmm. Kubiak does call the plays in Seattle because Mike McDonald is a defensive coach. So at least Kubiak has that going for him compared to Brian Callahan. Wes says, I think the most important part of the new coach is to make good hires at coordinating jobs. We don't need someone that is going to hire his buddies.
Listen, whether it's someone that knows offense or someone that doesn't, you know, whoever you get and give that responsibility to developing the first round, first pick overall in Cam Ward, then it needs to be the right pick. Again, you can hire a guy that knows offense, but he better know how to develop that quarterback as well. Or you can hire a defensive guy, but he better bring in someone that knows how to develop that quarterback and knows. And then the head coach has to set the culture within that locker room. Vrabel did a great job at that, and they reaped the benefits from it.
Texter mentioned bringing in someone the players can respect, Eric Bieniemy. Bieniemy is an interesting idea. I don't know how much I like it, but what I remember about Bieniemy was he was the Chiefs' offensive coordinator mm-hmm. at the start of Patrick Mahomes' career, so he got a lot of attention for that. He went to Washington for a year. That didn't work out. He went to UCLA for a year. That didn't work out. He is now the running backs coach for the Chicago Bears, I believe, if his dossier here is correct. I don't know. I feel like he would have had his time by now.
Yeah, his time has come and passed.
Yeah.
In regards to him being a head coach. You know, again, it to me, whether I just want a guy that can come in here and auto, you know, we see a shift in this locker room immediately. When I say immediately, I'm not talking about the day of. I'm saying once those players are there and once they get into their off season, there should be an establishment of what this team is going to be about. You know why I know that should be the case? Because I went through it with John Harbaugh. Same exact thing. We didn't know it when he did his press conference. But the first day we came in there for OTAs, it was established. And he let it be known. Like, this is the type of – we're gonna continue to build on what we were, but this is how I want it to look now. And we've seen the benefits from it. They've won a Super Bowl. They've been one of the best teams in the National Football League since he's gotten there. So the next coach – it needs to start ASAP. And when I mean ASAP, when those guys come in there for OTAs, they need to know how this program is going to be ran.
I need to read this text from our friend B-Man, who sent me a screenshot with his daughter Ashley from In-N-Out. Mm-hmm. She said, got in line at 11 p.m. last person in line and received my food around 3:30 a.m., but it was worth it.
Oh, man.
And then he said, nice, looks good, I'll wait 6 months, LOL. She said, I thought ahead and got an extra burger for tomorrow, LOL. But his daughter.
She didn't get her dad a burger? She didn't get her dad a burger?
I hope it was for him. B-Man, let us know. But apparently his daughter got in line at 11 p.m. at In-N-Out and did not receive her food for 4.5 hours.
Man.
I am sorry. And B-Man, I love you. Thank you for listening to the show. 4.5 hours to wait for a fast food burger. Come on, guys.
That burger must have been good.
What are we doing?
It must have been good.
What are we doing?
Supply,
what are we doing?
Demand.
Oh, boy.
That's showing patience right there. Wow.
You
got
to
love that In-N-Out burger.
Yes.
Makes me want to go get one.
So you could have watched The Godfather Part 1 and 2 in line.
I could have
watched The Hobbit.
I could have watched I could have watched three episodes of Stranger Things.
You could have watched the whole fourth set. You'd be ready for Christmas Day.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which I did, by the way.
I did already,
I'm
too. I'm ready for
I'm
Christmas.
Up to date. I'm up to date on Stranger Things.
4.5 hours for In-N-Out. Godspeed, B-Man's daughter. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans coaching search. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, Jeffrey Simmons is killing it right now. And as I watched him play well against Cleveland on Sunday, I had a thought of what could have been. 615-737-1025. Our show is presented by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate now at baxhomeworks.com. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025. The game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here at Bridgestone Arena. David James is back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. I do have a Jeffrey Simmons thought, but we'll put that to the side for a moment because we have a couple of calls on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's start with Mike. Mike, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
How you doing, guys?
Good, thank you.
I just want to ask you guys a question. We're dangerously close to losing the number one pick. Now that we're going to go through the winter season trying to pick a coach, which means new staff. So is Jeffrey Simmons going to be happy with that? And then the other thing is, if we get a new coach and new staff, are they going to be supported with a number one pick, or are we going to blow it? Because the number one pick to support the new coach needs lots of good trades with the number one pick.
Thank you for the call, Mike. Hey, you don't have to tell me. Tankathon.com gets a lot of work on my browser.
Is it bookmarked on your browser?
You know what? It actually isn't, but it should be.
What? Come on.
That's
now,
an upset.
Adam.
But when I go to tankathon.com on Google, it says you visit often.
So they know you.
They know that I'm clicking
it
on
it. It actually tells you that?
It
like says, you don't know that?
It says you visit often. I'm like, yes, I know.
Are they trying to embarrass you?
Maybe. Well, there are more websites that are there are other websites that would be more embarrassing.
You know what would be funny if they said you visit often. Nerd.
Get a life.
Oh, my goodness.
Why?
Get a life. All right, let's
Or go. Your team must really stink.
Yes, but let's, you know, I understand Mike's point that, and we talked about this the other day. Great that the Titans won on Sunday, dropped them two spots in the draft order. One would think that having the number one overall pick at your disposal, which you could trade, plus Cam Ward, the previous number one overall pick, could be a selling point to the next head coach. I wonder how much of a selling point. Like when Robert Saleh or Matt Nagy or Mike McCarthy are looking at the Titans, I wonder if I should coach the Titans. How, if let's say they do finish with the number one overall pick, how much of a selling point do you actually think that is?
Oh, man. I it wouldn't be a bad thing at the point that at that point to
but
have
on the list
the
of priorities, where do you put that?
Having a number one pick?
Yes.
I mean, it depends on what quarterback, I mean, what coach it is. And what we see, you know, we know what the Titans roster looks like, and we know all the help that they need. So if a new coach is coming in, is that number one or in his top five? I would tend to think it would be in his top five, you know, draft position and what they expect to do with that pick. If they're expected to keep it or try to move out of it. So I'm sure that has to have some type of influence on whether, you know, he decides, whoever decides to take the job or not. Ultimately, it's the quarterback. It's, you know, management. You know, what do you think of, you know, the GM and everybody above the GM? And where do you think this organization can be in 2 to 3 years? Because it's not a 5-year plan no more. I don't. At least you would want it to be the 4 or 5-year plan, but in today's world, it's not a 5-year plan. It's a 2 to 3-year plan, and if you can't get it right in year after year one, then year two is the okay. Seat is kind of warm. If you don't get it done by then, then you may just be fired the next following season within the season.
Let's go to Scott on our phone line. Scott, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Actually, yeah, but I wanted to say I have a name. Throw out of there, you know, out of the box.
Sure.
How about like a Greg Olsen offensive coordinator now with the Raiders. You know, he was with Purdue during Drew Brees' formidable year. He could have a very apt pupil in Cam Ward.
Thank you for the call, Scott. When I first heard Greg Olsen, I thought of the former
Panthers
tight end who's the announcer.
Good announcer.
It didn't really work for Jeff Saturday on an interim basis, but Greg Olsen is the quarterback's coach for the Las Vegas Raiders, or was at one point. I can't say I'm too familiar with Greg Olsen, spelled O-L-S-O-N. But when
I guess he's saying it had a lot to do with Drew Brees' development, and that would be the angle with Cam Ward.
I would have to do – Scott, thank you for the call. I would have to do a lot more research on this Greg Olsen. You want to talk about the – ex-tight end slash announcer. I know about that, Greg Olsen.
And I don't
he's a pretty good middle school coach. He's a pretty good middle school football coach.
Greg Olsen, he's ready to be NFL coach.
Well, Philip Rivers was running the same offense for his high school that he's running for the Colts this week.
Got a point there. Touche.
Oh, man. One texter says, the Titans played Sunday like they knew everyone was watching, and I don't like it. You should give the same effort every Sunday, not just for the Shedeur Sanders clout.
I mean, I don't know if that was the case, but okay. And I don't think they played well. I think they areas played pretty good at times, special teams, defense, and the offense with the run game had their moment. But overall, I still don't think this team is nowhere near where they need to be. They're still just scratching the surface. So at times, yeah, they did play well, but at other times they played bad too.
Yes. I can't imagine in the locker room, Mike McCoy said, guys, gather around. Okay? This is a big game for all of you because Shedeur Sanders is out there, and people want to watch Shedeur, which means by extension, they'll be watching us. Now go out there and play like you haven't played all season because you'll get the Shedeur Sanders rub. Ready, break. I just don't see it.
Nah, but you know, there is, that's not, it's not, you know, 100% true or false that, you know, players don't go in depending on who they're playing and, you know, want to get at that person just a tad bit more, whether it be you facing your former team. Not to say that you're not going to play hard, because you're going to play hard, but it's just that it's just something else that goes on when you're, you know, going against an opponent, whether it be the defense going against a Tom Brady or a Peyton Manning. Yeah, you're out there and you're playing as hard as you can, but there's still that little something that I'm going against two of the greatest quarterbacks ever. I want to make sure things are done the way they need to be done. And I'm sure that probably – was a little bit in the defense mind. I'm not going to say the offense, but the defensive mind, because the last thing the defense wanted to hear was a bunch of Shedeur Sanders after the fact winning a game and putting up the numbers that he had. That's the last thing the defense wanted to hear is a rookie coming in and not only putting up the numbers but winning. You know, so you do want to go out there and make sure things are done a certain way. Not to say that you're not going to play hard. You're going to always play hard, but you don't want to be on the losing end of having to go against a rookie quarterback that everyone is, you know, they're tuning in to see.
Let's go to Philip on our phone line. Philip, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I was wondering, guys, why do nobody really throw out Jim Schwartz's name? He's a Tennessee guy. He only had one coaching opportunity, but he did take over a team that was like 0-60. He took over that bad Lions team. And within 3 years, he had him back in the playoffs. Actually, two of Matt Stafford's best years was under Jim Schwartz. He got the right offensive coach in there to work with. I think Matt Stafford was actually a rookie when he got with Jim Schwartz. But he had two of his best years under Schwartz as well. So why is his name not thrown out of there? I think he would come in and change the attitude in the locker room and put a dip like a – probably a Titans brand of football back in the Tennessee locker room. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Philip. We actually have mentioned Jim Schwartz before, and he has familiarity with the Titans franchise. He is currently the Cleveland Browns defensive coordinator, but he has not been a head coach since 2013.
Yeah. And
I'm biased, but I do like Jim Schwartz. I think you know, he might be a little bit out of the window.
Yeah.
I would say dark horse, but I've always thought that he is a very, very good football coach, and you could do worse. Let's put it that way. It wouldn't win the press conference at all. I think there'd be a lot of like, really? That's what you're going with? But I think he's a really good football guy.
But I'm wondering.
He could do the job.
So
give him good players, I think they'd win.
So Connor Orr, back to Sports Illustrated, this was something I thought was interesting. He said, quote, coaching analytics are a thing. And it seems increasingly like best practices suggest taking a year off after losing your job or amicably separating from your club. This is relevant because both the Browns' Kevin Stefanski and Dolphins' Mike McDaniel have faced speculation about whether their jobs could come open. Both, in my estimation, would be head coaching candidates and good ones for the coming year. I know that Jim Schwartz is coaching right now, but again, it's been more than 10 years since he's been a head coach. Isn't there sort of like a limitation to how far removed you are from being a head coach to being a head coach again?
No, I'm not sure there's a written rule.
No, there's no written
but
rule.
But I'm sure there is this, especially if your last employment wasn't a good one. The caller pointed out, you know, 2011, they had a 10-6 season. They went to the playoffs, but the 2 years prior and the 2 years after, they were not a winning friend. They were not. He was not a winning coach. He had one good season within five. Listen, Schwartz is a hell of a defensive coordinator. Hell of, and like Willie said, it wouldn't be the worst thing to go out there and say, well, I hired Jim Schwartz. But I think his window has passed. And the last time he had an opportunity to be a head coach, his record ended up being 29-51 with a 363 winning percentage. That ain't going to get you another job. It's hard to get another job, especially after it's been 12 years, 13 years. They ain't going to get you another job after that.
Okay, Richie from White House has a fantastic suggestion. He goes, Adam, it's time. It's time you release the only head coach who can possibly bring culture to the team.
Oh, don't say that.
It's time for the Titans to bring in Coach Willie. Now, Richie, I don't know if you heard this last week, but after Vanderbilt defeated Tennessee, I locked Coach Willie in a closet, and I threw the key in the ocean like the necklace in Titanic, never to be found again. Coach Willie is gone.
Coach Willie is just a character.
Coach Willie is gone.
It's not like the idea of Coach Willie.
Well, okay, we need to have a segment on the show coming up. Coach Willie's job interview. You guys ask the questions. I'll answer the questions. I'll interview for the job.
Okay, we might have to do that. Coach Willie, put
interviews
him on the
for
list.
The job. Yeah.
Matt Nagy, Robert Saleh, Mike McCarthy, Willie Donick. 615-7.
I can do it.
You can do it. I believe
we're going to be positive.
615-737-1025. Speaking of positive.
We're going to be tough.
Speaking of positive and possibly
we're gonna
tough.
We're going to win.
Can I get through this? Speaking of positive and possibly tough, Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet will join
Pavia
us.
Will be my
up
quarterback.
Next.
I'm kidding.
And listen, I'm not hiring you. I love Pavia, but I'm not hiring you.
Elliot Freeman will join us coming up next. The Predators are back in action. Elliot had some interesting reports related to the Predators on Hockey Night in Canada last weekend. We will ask him about that and what else he's hearing about the Predators and the NHL as a whole coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.